Okay, folks, we're just about to make a start again. Are you enjoying your session so far?
Yes.
Oh, right answer. Good. Well, this is the last of your workshop sessions. So again, as with the others, it's an opportunity to hear a short presentation and then for you to ask questions as we go through. So we'll look forward to hearing what your questions are and getting involved in the debate as well. Now, Gavin's going to be presenting to us, and I know Gavin's no stranger to many of you, and has recently joined Shelter Scotland, and he's the Empty Homes Officer for Fife and West Lothian Councils, so covering those two council areas. What I do love about his presentation, I've been looking forward to this all day, is to hearing what he says about fleshing out the various faces of Scotland's empty homes owners. So there you go. So we're going to have a description of what those faces might be. And I did actually read it as feces earlier. So there you go. So I'm pleased it is faces. When I looked at that, I thought I need my lenses changed, I think. So there we are. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you to welcome Gavin forward?
Thank you very much, John. Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you're all enjoying the day so far. It's been very interesting and lots of interesting topics brought up. This isn't really kind of meant to be a kind of really difficult one. Quite an easy session, I think. Hopefully not tease your brains too much. I am Gavin Leask, obviously. Regional Empty Homes Officer for Fife and West Lothian, employed by Shelter Scotland. Part of the Homes Again project, which also includes East Lothian Council, Scottish Borders Council and Dumfries and Galloway Council. As Empty Homes Officer, my job is primarily to identify empty homeowners, first of all. The main way that we do that is through council tax records. So obviously anybody registering their home as empty, we get past that information. We do get referrals from other members of staff as well, and we do get complaints from members of the public, but most of our information is coming through from council tax. So that's our kind of first step to identifying empty homeowners. Once we've identified the empty homeowner, we then try and make contact with them. Usually a letter with a survey asking, you know, why is the property empty and what help do you need to get it back into use. From there, we then, you know, offer advice and encouragement and everything as well. So, the most important job, part of our job, is identifying the empty homeowner and working out what their actual their issue is to begin with. So I'll try not to bamboozle you too much with statistics. I'll try and get through these relatively fast. This is just a quick glance at our survey returns screen, and it's for the West Lothian area for no other reason than the fact that I was in West Lothian when I was writing the presentation. This is all the results of the surveys that have been returned to us. So this includes all the people who said yes and no to our survey returns. So we'll just quickly skip that and just go purely to the people who said yes. We have quite a high response rate to our surveys. It's actually gone up a lot since the survey was sent out. I won't go through the statistics too much, but there's some interesting ones. Obviously, the first question is the property actually empty? And the good news is that the answers we got back for that was 78% yes, 22% no. Of the 22% who said no, most informed us that the property had actually come back into use just fairly recently. So we've not had anybody turn around and say, no, that property's never been empty. So it shows us that our information that's coming through is fairly robust. The next column, what type of property is it? Nothing too surprising there. 59% said house, 24% flat, 10% bungalow and 7% masonette. So that's roughly consistent with the property types in that area. So there's no one particular property type that we can see is really causing an issue in that area anyway. The next one, as you can see, how did you become owner? And the biggest answer there by far was bought to live in, which was 55%. So nothing too surprising there, really. Bought as investment was 14%. Inherited was also 14%. Bought for family, 7%. And then bought to rent, 3%. Family home, 3%. And then 3% declined to answer. So the vast majority of people buying their houses to live in and then struggling when they're coming to sell the property. Why is the property empty? the biggest answer there by far was trying to sell. on 52%, and then being renovated on 28%. So that's 80% of all people who returned the survey anyway, telling us that they're either trying to sell or renovating. So that gives you an idea that that's really the biggest proportion. Behind that, want to renovate but can't afford to was 7%, refused planning, 3% unfortunately. Waiting for the right time to sell, 3%. Trying to let was just 3%, so a really tiny amount of people trying to actually let the properties and failing to. And one person waiting for the right time to sell and trying to let as well, so keeping a bit of an open mind there. How long has it been empty? Kind of a trick question, because we know that already through the council tax records, so you know, we didn't really need people to answer that. But it was interesting, 41% said less than 1 year, 22% said 1 to 2 years, and 22% also said 2 to 5 years. What we found was that a large amount of people were actually underestimating how empty, how long empty the house had been. So, for instance, if they put that it had been empty for less than 1 year, it had actually been empty for 1 to 2 years. So maybe people just not quite realising how long they've actually been holding on to the empty home for. What condition is it in? The ready for occupation answer got 59%, which is quite stark, really. Nearly 60% of all the empty homes in this area were sitting basically ready to be moved into. And if you look at the national figure, I think we're most recently was around about 25,000 empty homes. You'd be talking about 14,000 properties that are sitting empty that could be moved back into straight away. Which sounds great, but I do have to emphasise that this is the owners themselves telling us this information, so we don't know if it necessarily is ready for occupation. We have had people before saying that their property is ready to be moved into, then can they get a loan to do it up, so a wee bit wary of that answer. The rest was split evenly, 20.5% each for minor renovations and major renovations, so and nothing too surprising there. When will it be occupied? Quite polarised here. 41% said they don't actually know when their house will come back into use, and 41% were also confident that it would be within 6 months. So even numbers for people who just have no idea when it's going to come back into use, or people who are really confident it's going to come back into use very fast, and the remaining 14%, 6 to 12 months, and then 4% advised that the property wasn't for occupation at all. Almost there. How do you think the property will be brought back into use? 52% intend to sell it, 17% want to live in it themselves, only 14% want to rent it out, so still a long way behind the amount of people wanting to sell their house. 7% said they don't actually know how their home will be brought back into use, 4% said their family are going to move in, 4% said it's not for occupation, and 4% said either sell or let. So again, at least one person keeping a kind of open mind there. Does it ever cause you problems, the last one on the screen? 59% of people said it never causes them problems. Again, I'm a wee bit dubious about that, because they then go on to ask for various different kinds of help. So they're saying it never causes them problems. I think there's maybe a wee element of bravado there, maybe trying to make the situation sound better than it actually is. So obviously the numbers can tell us a certain amount about the owners, gives us a rough idea of what they're after and what's causing the problems. But when it comes to actually understanding the owner themselves and understanding each individual owner, we'll only ever know that by picking up the phone or sending an email or going and even speaking to them face to face, and that's when we come across the different kinds of owner. Now I'm going to go through the different categories of owner as we've kind of looked at it, and it's a kind of spectrum from kind of almost the worst to the best that we're going through. So the first owner that we come across in our group is the raging owner, Derrid Butler. They're very angry about his empty home. I have to emphasise, as the slide says, a very rare creature. It's just to kind of illustrate that we do come across some owners who are very angry through reasons which we don't always necessarily get to, and just really want to kind of have a go at us and not do much else. We do always try and end the phone call or email or any other conversation with an offer that if they do ever change their mind to come and get in touch, they've got our contact details clearly. So we'll always be there for them, but just to kind of illustrate that we do occasionally, in my experience, about once a month get an owner who is just very, very angry and doesn't want to engage with us at all and just wants to be left alone. So as I say, it is a kind of spectrum, so we come down one, Victor Meldrew on the phone to me about his empty home. So as I say, this is just a grumpy owner, so not a